The great advantage of liberal science, of our knowledge-making system, is not that it does not make mistakes, it's that it catches mistakes very, very quickly.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Jonathan Rauch. He is reissuing his great book, Kindly Inquisitors, which was published 20 years ago. Jonathan, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, Nick.
The subtitle of your book is originally published in 1993, The New Attacks on Free Thought. In the intro, George Will wrote an intro for you, and he says that your biggest failing is that you assume others are as tempered as you. Set the scene for us in the early 1990s. What was going on then that was worrying you so much about what you call liberal science, or kind of open inquiry and an open discourse in society?
The late 80s and early 90s were the blossoming of what came to be called then political correctness, which meant a few different things, but it meant that on university campuses suddenly people were being routinely punished for saying things that were deemed harmful for minorities or politically incorrect. At the same time, you had the Rushdie affair, which really motivated this book in many ways. When a guy wrote a book that was critical of Islam,
this is the Satanic
Verses. Salman Rushdie, Satanic Verses, and a fatwa was issued by Ayatollah Khomeini on his head, and there was no resolute defense of him in the West. And people said, you know, well, what he did when he wrote that book wasn't very nice, so maybe he shouldn't have done that.
Right.
And then you had an ideological attack on the notion of robust criticism, which was that, you know, if you say things with words that hurt people, that cause offense, especially to minorities, that those are words that wound, verbal violence, harassment, and that should not be allowed. So you had all these movements converging to try to control speech.
You say the book in the afterword, which is worth the price of a new edition of Kindly Inquisitors alone, you say the book has two patron saints, C.S. Peirce and Karl Popper. How do you mean that? What are they the patron saints of for you?
These were two philosophers, they both ought to be iconic in the libertarian world, who had two core insights. Peirce's insight is that we make knowledge socially. We find knowledge by consulting each other through public criticism. He's the guy who realized that it's a public process and criticism, open public inquiry, is the key. Karl Popper, great Austrian philosopher, comes along and says, yes, that's right, and it's an evolutionary process of trial and error, of a discovery process, much like the Hayekian process of discovery of prices and markets. So it's going to be open-ended and trial and error and decentralized. It's a liberal system.
Talk a little bit about the difference between, say, a government or a governmental agency restricting speech and maybe a professional association at various points. One of the threads is the idea, and in the original edition of the book, you talk about a student in Michigan who was got in trouble for saying that homosexuals could be treated, you know, they were sick and they could be treated with some type of therapy. But later you also say that you don't have a problem with the American Psychiatric Association telling physicians that that's stupid, and if you believe that, we're not going to certify you. What's the difference there, and where do you draw a line between a government, a coercive form of speech repression, and a legitimate one?
To the maximal extent possible, you want to avoid centralized, politicized control over speech and thought, because that will be used by powerful people to serve the interests of the powerful. That does not mean that speech and thought are unregulated in a regime, what I call liberal science, our modern knowledge-making system. It's extensively regulated, but it's done through this network of people talking to each other and through their professional societies. And one of the points Kindly Inquisitors makes is you've got to allow the system enough space to turn aside, sometimes quite brutally, people who the system decides don't have good ideas.
And oftentimes the system will be in error because you mentioned Hayek before. He's a guy in the 40s and 50s who was kind of on the edges of the economics and social science world, and you know, by the early 70s had won a Nobel Prize.
Yeah,
so.
Well, the great advantage of liberal science, of our knowledge-making system, is not that it does not make mistakes, it's that it catches mistakes very, very quickly.
Talk a bit about Frank Kameny. What does his life and example tell us about the best way forward in a world where knowledge is likely to be more and more recognized as provisional and hotly contested, and where freedom is always, you know, a couple of people in a back room somewhere away from being extinguished?
So 1957, a man named Frank Kameny is fired from his government job as an astronomer. And instead of rolling over, he fights back. He goes to Congress, he goes to the Supreme Court, he begins mounting public protests. 1971, he's the first openly gay candidate for Congress. Now, it seems at first like he never gets anywhere. But in fact, at every stage, he was making powerful moral arguments and gathering more people behind him. And the wonderful thing about a regime of open criticism and debate is once it gets going, it is very good at finding that one guy with the important idea, the Galileo, the Copernicus, the king, the Kameny, bringing that person to the center, testing those ideas, and discovering if they're true that they really are better ideas. Frank Kameny, pioneering activist, lived to see his ideas spectacularly vindicated and to receive a public apology for his firing from the U.S. government.
And he never called for the restriction or suppression of speech with which he disagreed.
I knew Frank. He was a very confrontational guy, but he never said anyone else should be silenced. He always understood that his job was when people said stupid or hateful things to use that as a platform to rebut them. And he understood that he would win those arguments if he had the better ideas, and he did.
Well, we'll leave it there. That's a great lesson from a great book with a great new afterword, as well as a great introduction by George Will. So thank you, Jonathan Rauch.
Thank you.